From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of April 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. It is the last trading day of the week. There will be a closing market report tomorrow afternoon, Commodity Week 2. We'll record that today. You can find it on our website at willag.org. Coming up in this half hour, however, we'll take up the marketplace as usual with our regular Thursday analysis, and that includes Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, and Matt Bennett from TGM. He is in Windsor, Illinois. Oh, and Mike Tenora will be here too, and Mike will be back tomorrow. A great conversation with him about the weather forecast. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Stay with us for this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, that'd be the July for the harvest month, 3¾ cents higher at $6.99 on the settlement price. May corn at $4.94¾, down 2¾ cents for the day. July futures there at $5.15, down 3 cents. In September, $4.98¼, 2½ lower. December corn at $4.96¾, down 2¼. And the March of 2015 at $5.04½ in the corn pit, 2 cents lower. May soybeans, $15.14, down 4¾. July at $15.02¼, down 6½ cents. In August, $14.20½, down 3½. November beans, $12.39¼, up 2. January, $12.44¼, up 2 cents. Bean meal at $4.88.30, down 2.70. Bean oil at $43.41, finished 30 cents lower on the day. Live cattle futures, April contract, $144.20. That's down $1.55. June at $134.37½ for 100 pounds, down $2, or rather down $1.25. And the April feeder cattle at $178.55, or 70 cents lower for the day. May contracted $178 and a nickel, down $1.85. Lean hogs at $123.50 per 100 pounds, 62½ cents higher. June futures at $124.82½, and the lean hogs $1 and a nickel higher. You're listening, of course, to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. A reminder again that the markets are closed Friday for Good Friday. We will be here in the afternoon with the closing market report and Commodity Week, a special program including a great deal of weather with Mike Tenora. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, May contract $104.32 a barrel, up 56 cents. RBOB gasoline, our wholesale price at $3.05½. That's a penny and 4 cents higher. And ethanol futures traded at $2.19 and 2 cents, up 2 cents for the day. The spread between the two is 86¾ cents wide. That's just about ½ cent narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas for the day at $4.73 and 2 cents, up 20¼ cents. And diesel fuel, $3.09 per gallon. That's just about unchanged. Gold futures at $1,293.50 an ounce, down $9.70. And the U.S. dollar at 79.83. That's nearly unchanged on the day as well. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service on this Thursday afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 63 degrees. We are at 63 outside the studios here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. With a southwest wind at about 6 miles an hour, should gust all the way to 10 to 13. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy and a low of 44 in the area. Southwest winds at 5 to 7. And then tomorrow, 20% chance of showers. Those will come before 1 in the afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, otherwise a high of 64 degrees. Winds, however, will shift to the north-northwest at 3 to 6. That'll bring us a 40-degree low on Friday evening. Mostly clear skies with east-northeasterly winds at 6 to 8 miles an hour. Saturday, sunny skies and 68 degrees. And on Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low of 48. For Easter Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 72 degrees. How about that? Beautiful for Easter Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 52. Monday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and a high near 68. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
It is the 17th day of April, a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line from CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, is Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hey, Todd.
Well, let's talk a bit about this marketplace. Farmers in the western part of Illinois, I know, have been going. And I suspect the further the day has dragged on today, and we've had some sunshine, maybe a little wind, they've made their way, that number of farmers going in the field is, that is, has made their way across a good part of the state. Though there will be still some sitting and waiting. This generally means the market comes under pressure. What did you see today that you liked and did not like?
Well, a lot of the weakness in the corn market came yesterday on the forecast that we would begin to see some movement around the Corn Belt, and today we kind of showed some follow-through to the downside. I do think, you know, just a quick look at the chart, it does imply that the corn market is vulnerable here around a weakness. But I had some timing indicators that indicated that today could have been a short-term low, or we'll find one Monday fairly quickly, and then the market might try to recover. So maybe it kind of implies that maybe all of this talk about farmers going to be active planters next week, maybe the weather forecast changes over the weekend, and it's not quite as quickly as what everybody would like to. But it does definitely tell you that there is activity brewing in the Corn Belt, and acres are going to start going in the ground. But, this is just the early beginnings of it. We'll have to see. I mean, the temperatures, I know, are warming up a little bit, but we still got a lot of cold air around. And the corn down here in Central Texas is only an inch or inch and a half high. So the cold temperatures doesn't allow it to grow very fast. Let's put it that way. So, corn is vulnerable here to some sell pressures. We didn't trigger anything yet today. We'll have to see kind of what Monday brings.
And soybeans?
Soybeans, for the most part, I think May soybeans have kind of met their at least minimum upside objective. I had like 15 and a quarter. We went to 15.31, so I guess I was about 7 cents too conservative on that one. November beans, I thought we could go to 12.50, 12.52, and I think we've been to 44, 45. So far I'm 7 cents short of that objective. But I think we're probably going to, you know, if the corn market turns down, beans could also struggle. But everything's still in an uptrend. I think what we got to watch is the wheat market. I think that three-week decline that we had in the wheat market is complete with the strength that we saw this week here. And if you would kind of take that three-week decline, take the midpoint of that decline, and then try to swing it off of your winter lows, you could begin to talk about maybe an $8 upside objective in Chicago July wheat. We'll have to see what kind of fundamentals come about to see if that's going to be validated or not. But I think that's corn's hope. To maybe get pulled out of the doldrums, that if the wheat market would decide to make its surge to the upside, I'm pretty sure there would be enough spillover strength that could maybe pull corn out of the doldrums and still get corn kind of reaching up into the 520s or so for a spring high.
So what are the things that would trigger that? Are we talking about another 4 or 5 days, 10 days to figure out what kind of winter kill there was and what kind of damage was done late last or earlier this week from the cold that dipped way down into the southern parts of the United States?
Well, I think everybody will be, first thing they'll be watching will be what kind of crop ratings, what did they do by Monday afternoon. That would probably show you some extent of what kind of damage did occur or how much damage did occur with the temperatures going down below freezing. The other thing is still is dominantly dry in the hard red winter wheat areas. I know there is some forecasts of rain, but now being a Texan, when you get a 30% chance of rain, you might as well not even talk about it. I mean, you need a like a 90% chance of rain for it to rain. So there is some chances of rain to work their way in the hard red winter wheat area. We'll have to see how that works. But if they would miss those rains, then you would expect to see another decline in crop rating levels. And then still hanging in the mix is Ukraine Civil War type activity that might disrupt export shipments out of the Black Sea. So those are the three factors, I think, that could maybe propel wheat on up into that, at least the upper sevens, if not the $8 mark. And like I said, if you could get that to go, corn would be pulled along with it, 30 or 40 cents anyway.
You know, if you live closer to Houston as opposed to Waco, you'd get more rain.
Yeah, I know. We Houston and New Orleans, we get plenty of rain down there. It's green all year long. But being 80 miles south of Dallas, we're only one day away from a drought all the time.
Always one day away from a drought. What do you think of the beginning of the growing season here in general? It doesn't really, it's not all that late. Last year we were, at the same time we were, no, just in the same place, according to the USDA's national number. So I guess we're looking okay at the moment, but there are things that can happen.
Yeah. the thing that I guess I get, I believe everything at the end of the day is average. And we are so far below normal on the temperature averages for the first 4 months of the year, that in order for us to average those temperatures out, I expect a round of heat somewhere here down the road of, 5 to 10 degrees above normal. And if you would start getting some of that coming into the marketplace during July and August, all of a sudden you'd have a weather market on your hands.
Right,
so
and the later planting season means that we push back the nick to that time.
Right, unless we start warming up very quickly. We're talking about central Illinois here and western Illinois and southern Illinois. And, you got to keep in mind there is a lot of corn north of Interstate 80 and a lot of corn planted in Wisconsin and Minnesota and South Dakota. And those guys, I think, still have snow flurries in the forecast over the weekend. So we got a long ways to go before this so-called trend line yield of 165 is realized. And I just think, I know when you trace out a balance sheet, that's where you start at. But I think that's kind of optimistic. And with demand now growing, if our yield would slip back to something like it was last year, 160-ish, we got a tight balance sheet. And these so-called $3.50 corn bears are not going to make it work again. I mean, it all depends on the growing season and what kind of yield it is. But 160 bushel yield is a good yield, and that's not a crop failure, and that still keeps the balance sheet snug. Now, if you go to the 165, well, then all of a sudden you probably got too many bushels corn around and prices can drip lower. But we're a long ways away from that, and we'll have to see how this planting season begins. But it's definitely cool to start with, and it definitely lacks growing degree days, just like I did listen to the WLL Commodity Week last week and listened to Bondurant, and he said his corn was awful small and still didn't have all of their corn planted in the southern areas. So It's definitely starting out late, and unless we get some real good heat, growing degree days, we may have a later harvest than what everybody thinks.
All right, well, we've got 6 good weeks before we have to worry about anything really harsh, I guess. Well, if we get 3 weeks out, we'll be worried.
I think we're in a period that late freezes is in the mix here. There's still a lot of cold air up north, and I guess I'd be a little, if I was a Northern Illinois farmer, I don't think I'd be too quick to get the planter rolling. I'd want to see the weather break to a little warmer pattern anyway.
All right, hey, thanks so much.
Very well. Have a good Easter.
Oh, you too, Dan. Dan Zwicker, of course, is with CGB Enterprises. He's out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us on this Thursday afternoon, the 17th day of April, to take a look at what happened at the CME Group in Chicago.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Don't forget to hit our website. You'll find there this evening yet the closing market report for tomorrow. I'll try to put that in a special place, otherwise it won't quite show up. And then Commodity Week as well. I've already done the closing market report, or at least the bulk of the discussion, and it's a really good one with Mike Tenor. We'll hear 4 minutes a little bit later. Not a 4 minutes, it's tomorrow. Mike and I had a fantastic discussion about the growing regions. You need to listen either tomorrow during the show or on the web at willag.org. At least that's my opinion.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, the latest calculations from the United States Department of Agriculture have pegged the season's average cash price for corn in the nation at $4.60 a bushel. It is a number the Ag Economist, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus, have tagged as the new normal price. But they did that about half a decade ago. I have more on the relationship between what the U of I has done and what the numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture are saying about the cash price and the ending stocks figure in a moment. When the price of commodities began their meteoric rise higher in the mid-2000s, the agricultural economist at the University of Illinois made some calculations. Daryl Good and Scott Irwin laid out a new trading range and season's average cash price. Those are still posted to the FarmDoc Daily website. The old average for corn was $2.42 a bushel. The new price was closer to $4.60. As it happens, $4.60 is now the expected season's average cash price for the sale of corn harvested last fall. One could say, then, that if the $4.60 is truly the new long-term midpoint cash price for corn, then it must correspond to a new end-of-the-year supply number. USDA has that number at 1.3 billion bushels. Daryl Good thinks that's pretty close.
1.3 billion bushel carryout, the way you would characterize that, is a comfortable carryout. It's not tight. It's not restrictive. It's certainly not a surplus of corn. And so it's a manageable level of inventory that I think most people would be happy with year in and year out. Obviously, it doesn't provide a large buffer if we do have another short crop anytime soon. At the same time, it's not a burden to the market in terms of overwhelming supply. So, you know, a carryout of 1.3 to 1.6, somewhere in that range, and a price of $4.50 is probably what you would expect as average in this new era.
Having said that, Daryl Good concedes that in individual years, he cites the past three, the market will vary from that target. However, he's confident each time it varies, the corn market will retreat to the midpoint, $4.60 for cash corn. There are new midpoints for soybeans and wheat, too. Those are $11.04 for soybeans and $5.80 for wheat. I'll round and repeat. The new midpoints for the Central Illinois season's average cash price for corn are $4.60, $11 for soybeans, and $5.80 for wheat. You may read more on this topic from Daryl Good and Scott Irwin on the University of Illinois FarmDoc Daily website. Search Google for this phrase, New Era crop price distributions. The phrase again is New Era Crop Price Distributions. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, on this Thursday afternoon, let's check the cash grain market. On the phone line is Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How much have producers been moving in the fields in your area?
Not much just yet. I mean, we're right on the verge. I mean, obviously, it's been, you know, weather-wise, a little nippy out, a little wet in places, but it's dried out pretty good, and there's a few guys scratching around, but not to any huge degree yet.
I suspect you've called enough folks that, you know, in western parts of the state, they are moving, and I'm maybe even further south of you, too, although I think there's probably corn in the ground there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's corn in the ground, and there's actually corn in the ground around us that was put in actually last weekend. But there's not a whole lot, and I think that it's going to be going in earnest probably in the next day or so.
And when you think about what else they might be doing, have they been hauling corn into you from their bins?
You know, it's kind of subsided here this week, especially because guys are, you know, working on equipment, last-minute preparations, and, of course, doing just anything, whether it's updating GPS stuff, just to get ready to go.
Should they be considering moving corn rather than working on their equipment at this point?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think most guys in our neck of the woods have moved most of the corn towards the elevator. Not all of it sold. Some of it's been put on DP, but, you know, anything above the $5 area as far as the base of the board, we were pretty excited about increasing our sales of cash corn.
How about for new crop? Because we've been touching that $5 area with new crop, too.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to sell some corn. If a guy hasn't done anything yet, I mean, you got to keep in mind, you know, if you're 502, you're 40 cents above the spring insurance price. And, you know, it's always a good idea to increase sales above your insurance price, especially when you're, you know, almost 10% above it. So definitely looking forward to making some sales in there. A lot of it depends on where guys are at. And by all means, everyone's situation is different.
Are you even more confident of making bean sales at these levels for new crop?
Yes, sir. I'm definitely a seller of beans. I have been for a while. Scale-up selling has worked out pretty good. I think guys have got pretty decent averages. And, you know, a lot of our guys are pretty comfortable with the percentage that they've got sold right now. And guys that really aren't went ahead and sold a few more beans here this week. It's an awfully attractive level.
And what are your bids for the day?
Yeah, 479 on cash corn, 468 for fall. 15.17 for cash beans, 12.09 for fall.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon. Just a reminder that we will be here for the closing market report and commodity week tomorrow, but that the marketplace is closed. The agricultural programming that normally would come to you from our programs in the morning, if you happen to listen to those, will not be available because there won't be numbers to report. But otherwise, you can visit our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org and catch up on all the things we've been doing here at WILL.
It's National Eggs Benedict Day. There are differing accounts of the origin of Eggs Benedict, but the most likely origin comes from Elizabeth David's French Provincial Cookbook, where she describes a puree of refreshed salt cod and potatoes spread on triangles of fried bread and topped with a poached egg and hollandaise. It's also St. Magnus Day. He is the patron saint of fishmongers. On this day in agricultural history in 1864, Thomas Blanchard died, an American inventor Blanchard made major contributions to the development of machine tools. At age 13, he developed an apple paring machine. Eventually, he invented the famous lathe that bears his name. The lathe can turn irregular forms, and it revolutionized a number of industries. In 1880, Donald Forsha Jones was born. Jones was an American geneticist and agronomist who experimented with corn. In 1917, he invented the double-cross method of hybrid seed production, which solved a problem in producing useful uniform strains, while at the same time increasing yield and vigor. And in 1941, the original Elsie the Cow died. Elsie the Cow was originally a cartoon character appearing in ads for Borden Milk. At the 1939 New York World's Fair, when people began asking where Elsie was, Borden's picked a cow originally named Yule Dulobelia from their herd to be Elsie. Elsie starred in commercials, made personal appearances, and even starred in an RKO movie, Little Men. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line, Mike Tenora, T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Mike, it looks like producers will be able to get into the field, at least some of them across the Midwest, over the next week. Who has the best chances and who might not be able to make it in?
The best chances are certainly off to the west of the Corn Belt for two reasons. Number one is that we have not had a lot of rain for a while now in the central and southern plains. So we will see planting pick up, especially across Kansas and Nebraska, possibly even into parts of Missouri and Iowa next week. That also occurs because of the number two reason, which is that we have unseasonably warm weather that develops at the same time. We should see high temperatures well into the 80s and possibly even the 90s across parts of the central and southern plains next week, and that will extend into parts of the Corn Belt. A little bit closer to home, it does look a lot better, too, as far as temperatures go. Maximums should reach the 70s on most days next week, and we think that 70s will become common not only for next week, but probably the week after that leading into early May. Now, it won't stay warm the entire time. A fairly strong cool front does move through later next week. But the whole point is that a much warmer pattern comes up. It helps to warm topsoil for planting. And then all we have to do is dodge rain events. There will be some rain around Sunday, Monday across a big portion of the Corn Belt, but not a lot, say one half of an inch or less. A much larger system moves across later next week, but we think heavy rainfall with that will be more to the north, say from the Dakotas through Minnesota into Wisconsin. Illinois is not completely out of the woods with that one, but again, the best rain chances next week are generally to the north of the region, outside of the scattered showers and storms we see Sunday, Monday.
I know you have been watching China and the beginning of its growing season. It, too, is in the northern hemisphere. Plants the second largest corn crop on the globe. Have they gotten a good start there?
We think so. Temperatures there have been unseasonably warm over the last month or so, and that generally is a good time to have warm weather because just like here, they are planting now, and with that warmth comes a favorable setup for planting. It has not rained too much there lately, though we have started to see some rain show up in southern and western corn areas. Now keep in mind, the climate of China at this time of the year is similar to what we have in the plains. It's fairly dry with rain only once in a while, maybe every 2 weeks or so. So even though it is a bit dry there, we aren't super concerned about that because we know that the climate turns wetter every week through June. So eventually we should start to see those rains in the south and the west move closer into the heart of its Corn Belt.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. We do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being with us. Remember that the markets are closed, but that we will be here for the Closing Market Report tomorrow afternoon and Commodity Week. You can tune in at the same time at 2:06 each and every business day of the year. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size.